Unemployment quake magnitude 6.1.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The government's report this morning on August job numbers is shaking up Wall Street. The economy shed 84,000 jobs last month. The unemployment rate jumped to 6.1%. Marketplace's Steve Henn has the story.
Ouch. Since the beginning of the year, the U.S. economy has lost more than 500,000 jobs. Mark Zandi is at economy.com.
You go back early in the year, most of the job losses were really in housing-related industries, construction and realtor jobs and mortgage finance. It's now much broader than that.
Last month, manufacturing shed 61,000 jobs. Retail lost 14,000. Professional and business services, 53,000.
Why? And the answer is there's inadequate demand out there.
Peter Morisi is an economist at the University of Maryland.
We're spending so much on gasoline and imported oil. We're spending so much of our money on imported goods as opposed to goods made here, and we don't have comparable exports to pay for it.
Economist Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial says there's more trouble ahead.
As consumers actually finally close some of their wallets and cut back on their spending.
Swonk says we're headed into a very unhappy holiday shopping season and more tough times for both businesses and the economy. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
With that, Wall Street remains trapped in a bear grip after the Dow dropped nearly 345 points yesterday, a loss of 3%. Right now, the Dow is down 40 points to 11,147, a loss of nearly 0.4%. The Nasdaq is down 11 points to 2247, nearly 0.5%. The S&P 500 down 3 points to 1232, 0.3%. Asian shares just tanked today, and markets in Europe are all lower. Oil prices have been falling sharply in the last week. This morning, crude is below $107 a barrel. OPEC members meet next Tuesday in Vienna. Iran and Venezuela want to cut back production to boost prices. But will they get their way? Brett Neely reports.
The steep fall in oil prices has OPEC members spooked. But OPEC heavyweight Saudi Arabia probably won't sign on to production cuts, says Leo Drawless at the Center for Global Energy Studies. Unless prices drop below $100, the Saudis will keep pumping flat out.
Well, they're worried on the one hand that prices might collapse, and on the other, they're worried that if prices stay where they are, if they push back up again, then the world slowdown will be deeper and longer lasting.
Even if OPEC can't keep oil prices from falling further, Europeans don't have much to celebrate, says German energy economist Claudia Kempfert.
From a European perspective, the oil price is still high because if the oil price is falling, but the dollar is strengthening, at the end, it's the same price.
In dollar terms, oil has lost more than 7% this week. In Berlin, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Cigarette company Altria Group, the maker of Marlboro cigarettes, is in talks to buy the largest U.S. producer of smokeless tobacco. The New York Times reports a deal worth more than $10 billion could be announced as early as Monday. That bid would put the value of snuff maker UST around $68 a share, 26% above yesterday's closing price. You're listening to The Morning Report for Friday, September 5th on Marketplace.org. If you use lawnmowers, jet skis, or power generators, a new EPA rule is aimed at you. It requires most garden equipment and recreational vehicles on the market to have cleaner-burning engines by 2011. Rachel Dornhelm reports on what this means for consumers.
They may be small engines, but they are big polluters.
On a summer day, these engines can produce up to 10% or more of the smog-forming pollution in urban areas.
That's Frank O'Donnell with Clean Air Watch. He says the new technology should be an economic wash for consumers. You may pay, say, $17 more for a lawnmower, but will pay $18 less to fuel the more efficient engine over time. And then there are healthcare savings. The EPA's Bill Charmley says the new products could result in $4 billion in healthcare savings annually.
Respiratory illnesses, increased mortality rates, hospital visits, asthma attack increases. So this program will help reduce all of those impacts.
Charmley expects equipment operators will see the biggest health benefits. In San Francisco, I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
We've heard a lot about how the sour economy is hitting domestic travel, particularly tourism hotspots. Visits to South Florida, for one, were down the first half of this year compared to last year. That's the first decline since 9/11. A major travel show today in Miami Beach is looking further south to pick up the slack. From the America's Desk at WLRN Marketplaces, Dan Gretsch explains.
The three-day La Cumbre travel show hopes to draw in visitors from Latin America. Sales have been brisk for a Thanksgiving shopping package. Brazilians, Venezuelans, and others board flights Thanksgiving Day, eat a turkey dinner that night, then pile into buses before dawn to hit the malls. Alfredo Gonzalez is with the Greater Fort Lauderdale Convention and Visitors Bureau. He says a weak dollar and strong Latin American economies make the U.S. a bargain.
From Mexico to Argentina, the demand is incredible. It almost looks like there's not even an off-season.
Foreign visits to South Florida increased 8% in the first half of the year, the biggest gain in nearly a decade.
The numbers are looking good, and we need something to rescue the situation with the downslide in the domestic market.
The most popular local destination for Latin Americans? Sawgrass Mills, an outlet mall an hour north of Miami. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Tough economic times have more people at retirement age working longer. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says 29% of people in their late 60s were working in 2006. That's up from 18% in 1985. The BLS says the number of 55 and up workers is expected to rise at more than five times the rate of the overall workforce. The AARP's annual convention in Washington this week reflects the trend. The convention is featuring a job fair for those who won't or can't stop working. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Penny McCrimmon is all decked out in a mustard yellow suit. She's a former Maryland state worker in her mid-50s, but she's back in the job market.
The economy's in the dumps. I'm a real estate investor, so my income is in the garbage.
McCrimmon always thought at this age she'd be living the good life in some warm place, not lining up at Home Depot and Staples booths at a job fair. But she and other seniors need to cope with the tough economy. And as the supply of young workers for service jobs dries up, companies figure aging boomers might help.
Any questions about CVS?
At the CVS booth, Ernie DuPont hands out pill cases on keychains. He says in the last dozen years, the company's worked hard to triple the percentage of CVS workers over 50.
You know, one of the things that's been very successful for us is our snowbird program, whereby we have people that work maybe in the Northeast during certain times of the year and then travel down to the South.
The next aisle over, retirementjobs.com offers an internet cafe for job seekers.
Well, I'm Bob the Job Guy. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Bob Skladany runs the booth. He's helping seniors looking to replicate the jobs they once held. Most are having no luck. They're applying for high-paid jobs at companies that don't need to offer snowbird programs. That makes Skladany's advice all the more important. Like, if you're being interviewed by someone half your age,
obviously don't make any comments like, well, you could be younger than my son.
Skladany says if you're asked your age, answer the question straight up and move on. He's become a beloved figure online.
Well, I've received 9 marriage proposals. It's true. 9.
But then Skladany gets serious. He starts talking about depressed seniors, people like former state worker Penny McCrimmon, who's heading to yet another recruiter's booth. She's been looking for a good-paying job for 4 years, with no luck. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace. South Korean memory chip giant Samsung may be looking to purchase U.S. flash memory maker SanDisk. A deal would give Samsung a big edge in the world's flash-based computer market.
Elsewhere in the tech world, a big birthday party. This week marks 10 years since a pair of Stanford grad students put their PhD plans on hold to launch a new search engine company called Google. But observers say the company has to search for more if it's going to stay on top for another decade. Joel Rose has this report.
By some estimates, Google accounts for 70% of all internet searches. Among patrons at the Higher Grounds coffee shop in Philadelphia, the number might even be higher.
How often would you say that you Google in a given day?
I have no idea. Embarrassing amount, I'm sure.
All the time, pretty much every time I'm on the internet, so I use Google Maps like it's my job.
I think definitely changed the way that everybody, the internet works.
10 years later, Google is still trying to change the way the internet works. The company has rolled out dozens of new services, from Gmail to Google Calendar to the company's newest offering, a web browser called Chrome.
What Google's doing right now that I think is very smart is that they're making a large number of small bets.
Wharton School professor Kevin Werbach says Google behaves more like a startup than a mature company worth upwards of $140 billion.
Google has a culture that encourages its engineers to try out new ideas, and they have a culture that pushes those out into the marketplace, even if they don't necessarily have a business model or aren't fully polished.
But that freewheeling attitude also has a downside, according to Preston Gralla, contributing editor at Computer World. Take, for example, the recent crash of Google Apps. Gralla says Google has to make its services work reliably if they're going to challenge Microsoft Office for the business software market.
At some point, you become like every other company. It's not about promise. It's about delivering on those promises. And that's the point that Google is at right now.
But Google is not like every other company when it comes to raw computing power. The company has giant server farms all over the world. Wharton's Kevin Werbach says that makes Google uniquely positioned to cash in on the trend toward wireless web-based software, also known as cloud computing.
Google has built essentially the world's largest distributed supercomputer. Everything they do, even in desktop software, plugs into that kind of cloud infrastructure.
He says that's an advantage that could keep Google on top for another 10 years. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
If you Google Marketplace, the top return should be our website, marketplace.org. From there, you can share your thoughts on this story and download the Morning Report podcast. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Good to have you with us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.